G'day, Vonnie. How are you this morning?
Oh, very good. I am thrilled at the prospect of being your cornhole correspondent. How exciting.
I can see you on a Thursday and a Friday night there, Vonnie. Welcome to the Cornholing Australia competition.
This is
the ACL,
right.
The Australian Cornhole League.
This is right.
Vonnie, as you can tell, we haven't slept much last night.
You know what? I've actually been Googling, I've been listening this morning. You can pick yourself up a cornhole board and those little bean bags that they toss for about $140.
It's cheap. It's cheap and easy, and it's a good game to be playing. And do you know the prize money over in America, Vonnie, is $100,000 to the winner?
Oh, my God. US, that's a...
Yes.
What am I doing with my life? I'm going to begin training immediately.
Had you heard of this sport before?
Never.
No, neither did I.
No, amazing.
And a lot of our listeners have texted in how silly we are because we haven't known about it. They've been watching it for years on television.
You know, I reckon I've seen it. I went over to Hawaii to cover Pipeline years ago when I was working at Channel 9. And at the resort, I feel like I saw families and things like that playing it. So it must be, you know, very social, very leisure time activity. And obviously it's got a hotly contested championship component too. But, yeah, I reckon I've seen them play it. I wasn't sure what it was. But it's something that I'd really like to get into, especially if you can have a lemonade while you're doing it.
Yeah, well, a couple. So anyway, we've started the unofficial, well, it isn't official, the Australian Cornhole League. Only Loz is well involved and he's got you involved and we're all involved now. But Loz, sorry, Vonnie, this week, another, never a quiet week in the NRL, isn't it? And we started with a coach sacking and one of great surprise last weekend.
Yeah, we were actually on air for Super Saturday and we hit halftime of that first game of the Dragons. And, you know, you guys are in broadcast, you understand, you get a bit of a count from the director and they said, 30 seconds, we're on air. And then all of a sudden the producer got an area and they said, Stephen Kearney's been sacked. I was in shock. We had no idea. I said, what do you mean? And they said, oh, Bill Rothfield's just tweeted it. So we were scrambling for details as well. And I think the timing of it was what caught us on the hop. You know, Warriors are not dreadful. This is certainly, they're by far not the worst team in the competition at the moment. And look, they weren't great against the Bunnies last week. But look, as the story unfolded, we saw, you know, the players were very distressed. There was that really emotional haka. We know that Stephen Kearney was in tears. And now we understand a little bit more about the background as to why now. You know, it's about player retention, player recruitment for 2021. They said it would be unfair to just, knowing that they were going to part ways with Stephen Kearney, they may as well do it now rather than at the end of the season. I think given everything the Warriors have been through, that's another element to this that sort of didn't make sense, you know, to destabilise that playing group even further. But, I mean, when the caretaker coach describes it like a death in the family, you know that, you know, it's something that was very, very serious and very, very upsetting for the Warriors. So, yeah, look, we had no idea either. And we were sort of just on air and doing our best to try and get as much detail. But, yeah, I think it was shock is probably the best way to describe it.
Yeah, my worry about the decision, Vonnie, it could go pear-shaped from here on in. I know that there has been some talk with some of their players are unsure of how much longer they will stay out here in Australia. And I reckon if they don't get results in the next week or even this weekend, if they happen to get a scoreline put on them by Melbourne, I think things can unravel pretty quickly for this team.
Well, that's right. I mean, Todd Payton was saying that there is no guarantee that the players will stay here. You know, given that everything that is going on, we know that some of the families have arrived here in Australia. They've been assisted in you know, being able to travel internationally. They're now outside the bubble. They're waiting their time, and then they'll enter that terrible camp situation. But, yeah, look, it is destabilising. And, you know, now we've got a plethora of coaches with their names being attached to the club. Loz, what type of person needs to come in so that the Warriors are an attractive prospect, they're an appealing prospect, so that you're going to, you know, bolster your roster to not just have one or two superstars like a Roger Tuivasa-Sheck. You need more than just one bloke. So who is that guy that's going to culturally be a good fit, and results-wise, give these new owners who have now an elevated level of expectation. You know, they're sinking plenty of money into it. They want results.
Yeah, and I think everyone, when they go into any business, the expectations are extremely high. But I think if you realistically look at this squad of players, I don't think too many people had them playing finals football this year. I think they've done a great job in recruiting Peter O'Sullivan because I think he's a good list manager, and I think he will be able to identify kids to retain over there in New Zealand and recruit pieces of the puzzle, so to speak, for players to come in and fit into where they need players in their roster. In terms of a coach, Cameron George spoke on our program earlier this week on Monday, and he thinks that they need an experienced coach. So if it is an experienced coach, you know, is it a coach that's had 3 years' experience? Is it a coach that's had 5 years' experience? Is it a coach like Wayne Bennett? And Wayne Bennett himself this week has said that he's not looking to go anywhere from South Sydney. So I'm unsure of who that person will be, but they need to get it right because they are a sleeping giant, you know, and they've been underperforming. They've been underperforming for 25 years, and we need New Zealand to be strong, not only for the NRL, but also for international football. Now, speaking of Wayne Bennett, can we believe him, Vonnie, when he says he's not going anywhere?
No! Wayne tells fibs all the time. And my goodness, he's been in a grumpy mood this week.
He certainly has.
He's given everyone a bake. And look, the journos are the latest to cop a bit of a spray, you know. Are you hard of hearing is what he spat back at them. Because every time he does a press conference, it's, you know, where are you going? He's been linked to, as you quite rightly say, the Warriors, the Bulldogs, the Dragons. The only club he hasn't been linked to is the Broncos. And he managed to sink the boot into them too yesterday, saying, oh, I'm never going to go back to the Broncos, not after what they did to me. They sacked me. So, look, and he half blamed the journos for that too. But, look, Wayne, look, let's just go back to when James Roberts signed with the Bunnies, and Wayne said, he's never coming here. We're not interested. We're not even talking to him. And then the next second, James Roberts is at Redfern. So look, Wayne does like to play those little mind games. Sometimes he is a little bit too smart for his own good, and things sort of catch up with him. But look, he's certainly a character. Look, he's 70 years old. He's at the Bunnies until the end of 2021. But having said, oh, I'm not going anywhere and you need to leave me alone and all this speculation's destabilising what I'm trying to do here at South. He then turns around and said, look, I do have lots of ambition to keep coaching. So is that at South or where will that be? We know that the Bulldogs are having the Kennedy Bankstown board are having a meeting today. It's understood that there will be a push for Wayne Bennett at that board meeting. Whether anything comes from that, we don't know. But look, yeah, Wayne is... thank God there's only one of him, Wayne Bennett.
Vonnie, speaking of coaches, is there a coach that's safe in the NRL at the moment? I feel like every week we're talking about someone new getting sacked, and being a coach and being a CEO of a sporting organisation at the moment is nothing but chaos.
Yeah, you're right. I feel like this round in particular, we've really turned the blowtorch. I mean, all three Queensland clubs, they're under the spotlight. You know, Greeny at the Cowboys, their CEO was forced to come out yesterday and say, no, now is the time for commitment. Kyle Felt said that he used the word ashamed of their poor form and that the onus is now on the playing group because they don't want Greeny to go anywhere. You know, it's the Broncos are having a board meeting tomorrow. Their CEO, Paul White, has said, look, it's not about Anthony Seibold. It's more about the million-dollar men, Anthony Milford and Darius Boyd and our playing group and where the effort is. Yeah, Dragons, Bulldogs, Warriors, you name it. Everyone just seems to be under the pump at the moment.
Yeah, and I can understand why Greeny's under the pump, because of that first half performance last week and their performances in the lead up to that game. So I know he's saying that, you know, he feels comfortable there and the CEO is supporting him, but another effort like last week, and I'm not so sure.
They were non-existent in that first half against the West Tigers, like absolutely not sighted off Nobby. So, I mean, they have three underwhelming losses, and I think it's the way that they've lost. And if you're part of this club, you've got a state-of-the-art brand new stadium. You've got the marquee signature of Valentine Holmes. You picked up Kiwi international Ethan Masters, who's a leading try scorer. You've got the Herculean efforts of Jason Taumalolo week in, week out. So where are the results? And we know that Greeny changed history forever for North Queensland, delivering that maiden premiership in 2015. He took them to a grand final appearance. Michael Morgan caught fire in, I think it was 2017, and they were in the grand final. So look, Greeny has been fantastic, but just looking at the body language in that dressing room at halftime, I mean, Greeny did turn that particular shade of purple because he was so irate, but no one else in the playing group was talking. So, look, it definitely is on the playing group, but, yeah, I don't know how much longer Paul Green, you know, can sustain those sort of results.
No, and he's a great coach, Paul Green, but unfortunately most coaches have a certain time frame at a particular club, and what they're doing at the moment, they're not responding. So they'll need a response in the next couple of weeks. Otherwise, there will be some questions asked. I'll tell you what was disappointing on the weekend. Not so much Manly winning, but the injury to Tommy Turbo.
Oh, what? This is so upsetting. I mean, I know we can look at the surface of Campbelltown Stadium, but Tommy's hamstring injuries have sort of haunted him around. Like, this is the same hamstring that kept him sidelined for a lot of last year as well. Do you guys know anything about this Nord board that tests the strength of your hamstrings and your measures your balance and all that sort of stuff? Because I think Tommy passed with all that with flying colours. I have heard that he has a slight leg length difference, one leg shorter than the other, and his inner soles aren't quite right. Look, I don't know because I'm not a doctor. I mean, Clarkie, you had shocking hamstring issues. You should be the
I've used that Nord board as well. So what it tests your strength in different positions under fatigue for your hamstrings. And there's a, well, I'd imagine all sports are different, but there's a level that you need to pass for your strength and conditioning or your physio or doctor to be able to say, yes, you're strong enough in that vulnerable position to run at 70%, 80%, 100%. And as your strength through your rehab grows, you continue to get tests until you get past, like I say, a certain level where they say, you know what, I'm confident now his hamstring is strong enough or her hamstring is strong enough to be able to, you know, run at 100%. But, yeah, again, I sort of found through my career that it wasn't just the strength of the hamstring that caused my problems. I had a weakness in my back, which played a big part. It was the position that my body got into. So, you know, generally running, standing up and going for a run and sprinting, I was fine. It was the when running, then bending down at full stretch of the hamstring to pick a cricket ball up one hand, and then my rotation twisting to throw, that's where I was at my most vulnerable. So, again, you think of a rugby league player, and especially someone like Tom playing fullback, he's 100% speed to the ball, then has to bend down and pick the ball up off the ground and then take off again at maximum speed. So, and he's under fatigue. You know, you play for five. As soon as you played for 5 minutes, your body is fatigued. So imagine that in the last 10 minutes of a game or in the second half as well. You're pushing your body to a level that, you know, you weren't born to do that. And every professional athlete in their chosen sport does this. And unfortunately, sometimes all the tests on a piece of paper can say you're 100% fit or you're stronger than you've ever been. It does not guarantee in the heat of battle under fatigue that you're not going to injure yourself.